road.
Yes, now, and welcome back to episode 108 of the Top Loaded Podcast. And most importantly, H, how are you doing, my friend, this week?
Yes, very well, mate. Very well. How are you doing? All good?
Yeah, obviously, before recording this, it's obviously a couple of days prior to your birthday, but technically a happy belated birthday, but now happy birthday for 2 days' time. Funny enough, we're both out of the country, so we are recording this slightly earlier. So it's quite weird, actually, because we only spoke to each other 48 hours ago for the last one. So we're going to do well.
Got a turnaround. Got to try and work out something that's happened in the hobby or... Yeah, we've got to try and work out some talking points. But yeah, very quick turnaround this time around, isn't it? Very quick turnaround.
Obviously, as of recording this, Finest Road to Euros is not out yet. But obviously, as of this has come out, it came out last Friday, which we'll be talking about in next week's episode, no doubt, because I've got into a few case breaks with Switzerland, which is no surprise for Granit Xhaka. And it's not the biggest checklist of that one. So it's going to be quite an intriguing one to watch. Obviously, similar as any Finest. It's every master box is two boxes, one auto in each, plenty of numbers. It's going to be quite a fun rip, especially with the short checklist. But the main talking point we was thinking about for this week is something a bit different. But before we go into that, we just want to say, obviously, this episode is powered by Third Down Display, your number one space for card supplies, custom card stands, great preparation kits, custom mats, custom, literally anything you need. Head over to Third Down Display. Their link is in the bio. Also, their Instagram is down below in the Instagram post. Just click on that. Head over to the website and see if there's anything you need for your trading card supplies. And if you use the code TTP10, you'll get 10% off your whole order. And we've seen a lot of people using that and getting their money's worth. So well done to everyone. And some of the custom stands as well that are rolling out the doors at Third Down at the moment are amazing, giving me and H inspiration that we need to get some more stands. But H, our talking point this week, we just want to talk about our journeys. Not obviously, I think the question that gets asked a lot is how did you get into the hobby? But we wanted to change it around a little bit. And it's like the journey since we've been in the hobby, because obviously it changes quite a bit. So obviously we won't talk about PCs because we've spoken about that enough in the past. But how has your hobby experience, so to speak, changed since obviously the early days to now? Because we had such good feedback on the last episode about people who are like really enjoyed the selling part of it because they still quite new to the hobby. So obviously now we've got experience for a few more years in the hobby. So is there anything majorly changed with how you either do how you go about your hobby business? Because once it is very different space to a couple of years ago, especially price wise, but for you in terms of your hobby, people just say buy and selling, but interacting as well. How has that changed over the past like 18 months?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of like minor changes. There's a lot of sort of, you know, bigger changes that have happened over sort of the last, I mean, what, 2 years, I think I've been in the hobby now. I think January, no, 3 years, I think it would be. I think January 21, I think, when I started, obviously during lockdown, during COVID. So yeah, I think obviously at the time, when I first started into the hobby, I think obviously it was a very different world that we live in, I think, compared to what it is now, obviously, in terms of people had a lot of, you know, disposable income at that time with being either on furlough, not having to go to work, nothing to pay out for travel, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the hobby obviously was continually rising at quite a rapid pace, obviously, when I first got into the hobby. So, you know, obviously pricing has changed over the course of the last 3 years, you know, the way people do things now, you know, card shows have taken off completely in the last 3 years. So in terms of the interacting side of things, you know, getting out to card shows was something that we couldn't do, obviously, at the start when I first joined in the hobby. And, you know, there was, as I said, there was only London, you know, when we first started out in the hobby, not long after I joined, obviously, the London card show launched. So, you know, there's definitely been, obviously, a massive turning point in interaction. You know, for example, jumping on the podcast with you every week, obviously, has been a big turning point in terms of interaction. But second of all, obviously having the card shows, obviously, to go to and go and experience for the weekend, there's also been a massive sort of turning point in terms of obviously interaction with people in the hobby. So I think on that side of things, obviously it's the podcast and obviously card shows that obviously have changed quite drastically for me. But yeah, I think in terms of the actual, I guess, PC and what I collect, if you like, obviously, I think it's stayed pretty consistent over the course of the last 3 years. I think, you know, I used to pick up sort of the odd, you know, random card here and there. I remember picking up, I think, the Haaland Net Marvels from when was it, Road to Qatar, maybe, I think it was. or whatever set that was in, and I put it straight into a mag with a mag sticker. Like, it was some serious business. I just look back now and think, why did that ever go into a mag? Like, it was just a £3 card. But at the time, like, it was one of the things of, oh, yeah, this is a sick card. And I think I got like a Gravenberch pink X Fractor and a HGA slab. And I'm just thinking, crap. I look back now and just think, what was I doing? But yeah, in terms of like the what I've collected and what I've bought, obviously it has stayed pretty mainstream in terms of obviously predominantly Arsenal. Obviously, F1 then sort of come onto the scene. Started obviously looking at collecting, you know, particularly Hamilton and then obviously Gasly and Norris slash Russell here and there. Obviously they've now introduced Disney, which has taken over as well. Obviously, a couple of bits and pieces that I picked up from Disney, obviously, namely Lightning McQueen, and obviously Toy Story. You know, obviously interacting, starting to interact with eBay, doing a few sort of big listings on eBay. You know, I think at one point I had like 55 cards up on my eBay. So, you know, I've definitely, you know, gone around the block a couple of times in terms of different ways of interacting, different ways of buying, selling. You know, never personally done a box break myself, never personally been a whatnot myself. But you know, just also in terms of sort of selling cards, also going through eBay, Instagram. But yeah, it has changed a lot. You know, I think obviously in terms of the way that people buy cards now, the way people search for cards now, you know, obviously the way people store cards, you know, obviously, you know, over the years I've bought card case, you know, having all my slabs in there, the way that my display has been. I think, you know, obviously it's changed a lot. And where I used to literally mag up every single card and spent don't know how much money on getting enough mags for everything. You know, now obviously you store stuff in all the top loaders, you know, getting mag stickers made up. So yeah, it's definitely been a long journey over the last 3 years, but I think for me, it's been the way that I, you know, using comps as an example, I had no idea what that was, you know, when I first started in the hobby and how you can look up the price of a card. I just looked and thought, oh, yeah, it's a good price, I'll buy it. Whereas now, you know, you have like access to 130 point, for example, and, you know, eBay sold listings where you can look through and see, you know, the comps on a particular card. So yeah, I think for me, it's been the way I interact with people, the way that, you know, you make connections within the hobby through, I said, the podcast with yourself, and also getting out to card shows. Obviously, you know, you make a lot of good contacts within the hobby with when you get out to these card shows and you meet people that you've spoken to for the last, you know, however many months, weeks, a year on Instagram DM. So yeah, I think for me, it's just been a massive whirlwind of the last, I still struggle to think, oh, wow, it's been 3 years since, you know, I started collecting. And you know, how much has changed personally in my life over the course of them 3 years. So, you know, still think I'm still going, obviously going strong. So yeah, like I said, a lot has changed within the hobby over the last 3 years. I think, you know, in terms of the way people buy and sell, the price, how much sort of disposable, you know, income people have, and the way that people do things has changed. And it is ever changing still. You know, I think there's so much more to come within the hobby, and there's a lot more to it than obviously maybe meets the eye. This just said to me, I don't know how many times she's tried to listen to the podcast, but it just doesn't make sense to her because, you know, she's like, I've got no idea what you're talking about. But you know, it's one of them things. I think, you know, a lot has changed for me personally. I think, you know, the way I collect things, what I look to collect. You know, back in the day, I probably would just for anything that looks cool, I'd be like, yeah, all right, cool, sweet, stick it on the display. Whereas now I'm probably a little bit more particular in terms of making sure that the auto is fully on sticker, for example, or, you know, looking at the overall condition of a card before I buy it. So yeah, I probably blabbed on for, I don't know, for far too long there about a lot of random stuff. But there's so much that's changed over the course of 3 years in terms of the way the hobby is, and, you know, what's revolving within, involving, sorry, the hobby, and the way that people do things has changed so much that you could sit here for hours on end and talk about everything that's different in the last 3 years. But yeah, hopefully that answers the question a little bit, because I feel like I've literally just rambled on for another hour long. But yeah, I'm sure you'll give your point of view, and, you know, you'll probably give it a lot more mainstream, a lot more to the point than I will. But yeah, that's probably it in a nutshell, really.
Yeah, I was gonna say, obviously, if it's hard to compare it from day one to day whatever this is now, but I think if I had to say one big change, especially for myself during the hobby, was the release of women's cards. I remember when I first got into collecting, I was like, surely there's got to be women's cards. And I was like, all right, there's some nice US women's national team cards. There's a few NWSL cards. But I was like, what? What do you mean? There's nothing. What do you mean? I can't get no Arsenal women's cards, which I've been trying to get. So obviously, when they did bring out the first Chrome, well, before that, a lot of people don't realize, but before the first Chrome, there was actually a women's knockout box, which was the first proper women's release, which was a fantastic release. Very nice cards in it. And then obviously the main hobby release, which was the first year Chrome, which to this day is my favorite set of all time. has taken up a lot of my bank account since it's been released. But it was nice to see a shift. And I think we've seen the shift not just in men's and women's products, but other sports as well. And it's diluting the actual trading card base that people are not always just interested in one sport. All right, don't get me wrong. There'll be a lot of people out there who just be like, all I like is football. All I want is football cards. But then bringing in the Olympics for Team GB, bringing in Stranger Things stuff, like I've got one here, it brings you open to so much more because there's so much stuff you could collect. How many cool TV programs over time? How many cool films there's been? Musicians. I would like to see maybe a few musician sets. Like for me, being a massive Post Malone fan, I'd love a Post Malone set. I think that would be like the dream set. But it's having this thing now, like I know you referred to Disney, you've referred to F1. It's being able to have all your different passions and hobbies combine into one. I think that's been great to experience over the last couple of years. Like for me, I'll show you a bit later on in this episode, but like I've got my big first ever real PSA submission, which has taken a lot longer than what it should have. But it's like just now being able to grade the women's cards, pick up basically just single-handedly just buying women's cards at the moment, which is fantastic. But obviously with H Review, obviously you've now delved into like the women's side a bit more. So how do you see the hobby now in terms of, if we just strip it back just to like cards, I think everyone would agree when you're first in, you're buying anything, everything, don't matter the team, don't matter the set, doesn't matter base, number or anything. But now do you feel like, I feel like the UK's learned a lot. It's naturally just modern, not modern though, but it's grown the hobby with the time of it. And now people are going, well, I could pick up seven cards numbered to 299, or I could pick up one card numbered to 25. I'll go for that 25 option. I feel we've seen, especially even if we don't say from when we started, because I think it's astronomical the amount of growth, but even from when we start, you come on board on the podcast, I think the UK hobby has just, I can't even say how much it's grown because it's sheer, you couldn't recognize it from where it was. And it's great to see now that we've got loads of different shows. We've got all of these different things happening within the UK. We've got content creators, we've got podcasts, we've got card show awards, we've got loads of card shows. It's fantastic to see. And the UK is taking, like the rest of the world, especially US, is taking note of the UK now. And the UK scene is better than it's ever been.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, you know, the hobby itself has definitely become a lot more clued up and a lot more switched on, I think, within the hobby as well. People know what they want. People know what they're looking for. People know what they're prepared to pay. Whereas I feel like previously it was a bit of like a, yeah, it seems good enough. Yeah, that seems all right. Yeah, I've not seen that card before. And or you pick up all these base cards and grade them all and try and sell them on. And I just think the way the hobby is and the way that people are within the hobby is they're a lot more clued up now, honestly, on what to do, what not to do, and how to go about things. So it's definitely brought that extra factor of good business, if you like. I think people are aware of what they want, what they want to spend, what a car's worth, what they're prepared to go to, trade in, adding their trade value. And I think, yeah, the whole hobby has just progressed so much over the last 6 months, let alone the last 3 years in terms of the way that people do things. So yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely come on leaps and bounds. There's definitely still a lot more to go, so a lot more to come. But people are a lot more clued up. People are a lot more switched on in terms of using, you know, US addresses, buying through the US, in terms of where you can get stuff shipped from all around the world and finding cheaper alternatives. Whereas, you know, me alone, you know, I'd spend $15 on shipping to the UK from the US. Whereas now you have US addresses, US shipment, and you just think it's just so much easier to access cars from all around the world, you know, and not have to pay that premium price of having it delivered straight to your doorstep. So there's definitely, the UK hobby is clued up. And I think, you know, it's definitely going in the right direction. I think people are, there's a lot more involvement in terms of from, you know, like I said, would that be people that are looking to create content, people that are looking to put on card shows, people that are looking at making podcasts. Whereas you look back to 3 years ago, I don't think there's a single podcast out. In the US, yes, there was. But in the UK, there wasn't a single podcast. And now we've probably got, what, four or five different podcasts, if not more. All these different platforms you can use in terms of whatnot. And, you know, you've got so many different outlets within the hobby, breaking, buying, selling, you know, consignment services. And I think, you know, it's come so far so quickly. And there's just so many different ways to learn about different things in the hobby. And yeah, like I said, the the hobby is clued up and people know what's going on in the hobby and people aren't stupid. And it's definitely a great place to be. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, the hobby definitely is a lot more switched on than it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. But I'll answer this question first. I'll let you give time to think. I was going to say, like, if you could, one word of advice for someone who's starting out, or whether even it's for yourself, if you could go back in time and say to this, you who walked into the hobby for the first day, one word of advice, what would it be? I think for me, it's you can say no to a deal. Like, don't get me wrong, there's some deals, and there'll be, I'll follow this up afterwards, after these two questions. It'll be like, was there ever a card that you passed up on that you missed? But you can always say no. Like, don't get me wrong, there's sometimes you can't say no. Like, sometimes a deal is very, very good, or it's a type of card that you'll never be able to get your hands on again if you don't pick it up. Don't get me wrong. Them ones, you can still say no, but you got to realize that probably the odds of it ever coming back up on the market, probably like 0.1%. So my word of advice would be, always think it through. Don't rush into something. So, as I say, sometimes it has to be a quick decision, but most of the time you can sleep on it. Think about the deal. Ask other people for opinions. That would be my main thing, was don't rush into a deal and you can say no, because sometimes you get lumbered with cards you don't really want. Cards that are a bit overvalued, but you didn't want to say no to it. So I don't know if you would have another like word of advice for someone, but for me, it would be take your time on a deal and you can say no to a card or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I think for me, if I was to go back and give myself a bit of advice from 3 years ago, I think for me, it would be research. I think, you know, research and understanding products, understanding sets, understanding parallels, understanding numbered cards, understanding case hits, understanding supplies, you know, card sizes, mag sizes, stands, comps, how to price up a card. I think just, you know, research is such a vague word for the meaning behind it. But I think, you know, it's probably the strongest word of advice you can give to anyone that's starting the hobby, just research. Like I said, know the products, know the sets, know sort of some cards within them, know card values. You know, many people that come to you and go, oh yeah, well, you know, I've seen a recent comp of that. I think it was like 2 weeks ago doing X, Y, and Z. You just think people's knowledge is just crazy. But because people spend their time in research, people look up, you know, I'm not saying people are spending their spare time going through the internet, but it's like just researching here and there. When you see something, I've not seen that card before. Let me look up what set that's from. Let me look up what other parallels are in that set. Let me look up what other autos are in that set. And just giving yourself a broader understanding and a broader knowledge of the hobby in general goes such a long way, not only for you, but the people you interact with and deal with as well. Because, you know, someone could ask you a question. You think, oh, I looked that up last week. Actually, yeah, it's X, Y, and Z. And it just, it benefits you as well as everyone else you talk to in terms of just researching a bit of information about whatever it is you come across. Because I think for me, you know, like I said, for a lot of time, I usually would come to you and be like, oh, what's this, wrong, what's that? Well, I'm not these people, not these, but you'd know the answer like that. So I think, yeah, research goes a long way. And even researching through podcasts, you know, listening to people talk about it, listening to the US hobby talk about things, YouTube channels, you know, Sports Cards UK, El Toro, good friend Jason. You know, listening to these sort of YouTube content creators, listening to podcasts, researching yourself on the internet through couple connection, whatever it is, just giving yourself a broader knowledge of what goes on in the hobby in terms of sets themselves or just general information, because it definitely helps you in the long run when you're in the hobby and people that you speak to trying to get deals done. You know, the more you know, the easier and the better the hobby becomes.
No, I couldn't agree with you more on that one. And I'll fire it back at you. Has there ever been a deal that you've looked back on wishing you'd done, or a card that you see come up? I think everyone won't have a long time to think on this one. So I'll give my one after your response. So I think the people are quite interested now by how quick that response was as well then.
I think you probably know what I'm going to say as well. Because I've said to you before, I wish I didn't say no to it. Yeah, I got a message on Instagram. I'd literally just bought a card from the London Card Show. It was a Ben White Prism to 15. And within, I think, a week of me posting it, I had a message on Instagram with a guy offering me the one-of-one, the to 5 PSA 10, and two other low-numbered parallels. And I think he wanted something like €550, I think, for all. I think it was four cards. And yeah, I still remember it to this day. And I think within an hour of me saying no, he sold it to someone else. And it kills me every time because I know I'll never see that Ben White one of one again. And, you know, for everyone that is listening, that is watching, I know obviously, I'm seeing a picture of it. Knows obviously, you know, Ben White and Ødegaard are my two main PCs at the moment. And I do just look back now and think, why did I? There you go, see there, that's it there. So literally, there, the one of one, the green to five in a PSA 10. Obviously, the gold circle, I think, to 10 for breakaway. I think the green to five, probably breakaway. I think you might correct me if I'm wrong. So, yeah, I think you initially went about 550, I think it was, for all four. And I said no at the time because I was like, I just can't justify it at the moment because there's so many other cars I wanted at the time. And as time goes on, the more and more I look back and think, why did I say no to that? Because you're never going to see that Ben White one-on-one again. So yeah, that for me is the deal that I wish I didn't say no to. Because I said, you know, with a card as low numbered literally as a one of one, the chances of you ever seeing that card again is second to none. So yeah, for me that is the one that I do regret, and it always plays round and round in my head as to why I ever said no to that.
Yeah, no, I think, like I say, everyone's going to have one, two, three, however many cards it may be, one deal, two deals. And the one was for me, it was an eBay one. And it was one of them that was finishing at like 4 a.m. So it's one of them you stick your max bid on and you just hope for the best. Obviously, lost by $1 because naturally they bid you out by $1. Obviously, their higher bid might have been a lot more. I will never know. It was a Freedom Mornem from First Year Chrome Future Stars Red Refractor. In a PSA 10. And to this day, I've always wanted to. There's two, for context, there's two cards in that set that I've always wanted a parallel of. It's Flag of Foundations, Caitlin Ford, and Future Stars, Freedom Mornem. And to this day, I've probably seen two come up. No, not even two. I've seen one come up since about a year and a half, 2 years ago when it came out. And still to this day, I've got it. I think my max bid on it was like $240, $250. It went for like $251 or whatever it was. To this day, I still hate it because I think there's more of them out there. I've just never seen them. I know they've been graded as well, so I check the pop reports all the time. So even an orange, I take an orange to 25. I just want a parallel of these two cards. So that's the one that I've always wanted to get that I've never been able to clock down, especially being first year Chrome Freedom Mornem, one of my favorite players. Caitlin Ford as well, another one of my favorites. I think it's always one of them. And my last question before we just talk about, like, if we picked anything up and now talk about PSA submission, if you could pick H one card, like your it's hard to say that your favorite deal of all time. I think it's a very hard question to ask, or even it might be your favorite card you own, or like combined experience of deal and card. If you had to pick one deal, what it might even be like, got it, and you think it's worth a lot more than what you got it for.
It's quite a question that I've got to try and think about every single deal I've ever done now. I always remember buying my first ever 101, and that was from SK Cards, it was also the Gunther Steiner. And I always remember that because that was just, I think I was messaging him, I was basically a bidding war through him. Because he was like, oh, this other guy's gone up to this. I'm like, right, I'll go up to that then. He's like, I'll come back with this. I'll go up to that then. And it was literally a bidding war. And I was just obviously, you know, I was obsessed with Drive to Survive. And obviously, I loved Gunther Steiner. And I remember seeing it, I was thinking, oh my God, like I said, one of one. I've never had a one of one before. And I remember being in the bidding war with this other guy. And the other guy was obviously, SK was like, yeah, it's not going any higher. And I was like, right, I'll go up to this then. And he was like, cool, well, the card's yours. So I always remember that like it was yesterday. I remember just being sat at home bidding on that. But yeah, I don't think there's any really any other deals that really like particularly. I know obviously me and you have done a fair amount of deals together before, and but I think for me, yeah, that one probably stands out the most, being literally in a bidding war with someone over Instagram DM through the guy that's selling it. Obviously, yeah, coming out obviously on top with the 101 Steiner. So yeah, I think for me that's probably, yeah, I think that would be the deal that stands out, obviously the most to me. Obviously, there's plenty of other deals I've done with people, so through Instagram, through card shows. Also, I'm obviously very, very grateful for. But I think, yeah, that for me probably stands out the most, that Gunther Steiner.
Yeah, I think it's between three for me. I always remember my first over £100 card. That was the Kai Osaka Pitch Kings. got it from a guy in Sweden a few years ago. That was obviously a fun one to look back on. Alessia Russo 101 will pop this year, managed to get that to a deal. That was all through, obviously, like we said, El Torre come through, biggest clutch assist in the history of assists on that one. But I think in terms of like story, pricing the card in one experience, it has to be my Granit Xhaka goal power to five Viagor. I was sitting in a West Coast whatnot F1 stream a couple of years ago. And the guy was going, I just bought Kimi Räikkönen and Sebastian Vettel from the first Lights Out. And he went, oh, I'm going to do a soccer stream coming up. I'm going to just show the cards off if anyone's interested. And his camera then went off. And I was like, oh, I kind of wanted to see them. But you could still hear him talk. So I DM'd him saying, like, you know we can't see you, bro. And he was like, oh, snap. Oh, thanks very much. And then he then started flicking back through it. And he can't, I see this card. And I was like, no, that can't be what I think I've just seen. It can't be. In this random F1 stream, this goal power Granit Xhaka Viagor to five. And he said, like, you see all the tags were on him because he'd just come back from a card show and he didn't sell any of these cards. And he had, I think, $140 on it. Now, at that price, I was very tempted. And at the time, I said to the guy, look, I've just bought the Kimi and Vettel, so I've got the shipping already. How much for the Xhaka? And he went, I'll do it. If you want to buy it right now, I'll buy it for 75. And he went, did you just miss talk, mate? I went, you said 75. He went, yeah. I went, all right, then I'll take that then. And I was like, to this day, it's like the accumulation of being in an American stream at a silly hour, watching F1, for him then to show soccer, to show a case here, to be Xhaka, to be to five, like all worlds combined in one. So that's my favorite like deal, I think, that one. Always one I would look fondly back on, and massive card tucked away in my PC. Like I say, I've got a very good offer on that one. It was $75 at the time. I wouldn't even be able to hazard a guess of how much it would go for. Maybe three times, maybe a little bit more. A push, I really couldn't say because I've never seen another one of the to five. So, yeah, I think, like I say, it's been bit of a blast the last however many years. They kind of all blend into one now. Like we say, it's always good fun buying new cards, selling cards. And before I run through my PSA submission, obviously, birthday was last Friday. Obviously, everyone buys themselves a nice little present for your birthday. So, did you get yourself any nice hobby-related birthday presents?
Yes, I did, funnily enough. And you can guess where it probably is. Yes, you're correct. It's currently sat in RP Trading Cards room with the rest of the cards I'm waiting to pick up from him. So, yeah, obviously, also we speak every day, and you were talking about listing up, obviously, a couple of different cards you bought recently, or pulled recently, should I say, luckily enough, from a prison break. Obviously, two of which, obviously, the Trossard to 8 Blue Shimmer, and obviously the Martinelli Manga. Two of which I said to you, they're not going anywhere. Let me know what you want, and you can add them to the pile. So, yeah, I was obviously very luckily, very able to obviously to work out a deal with you and add them to my little pile I've got stacking up at yours already. And yeah, it's obviously, you know, a little birthday present, you know, on behalf of RP, obviously to myself. So, yeah, Trossard to 8 Blue Shim, which I'm sure probably goes straight in the grading pile. The one that's probably I can go around my room twice, I think, and how long my grading pile is now. And then obviously the Martellini manga as well. So I think the manga full set is now underway. Yeah, the card prices are starting to be a lot kinder to me in terms of what they're going for on eBay. So Martinelli's ticked off. It's now just obviously Havertz, Odegaard, Henri, Gabriel. Yeah, there is another five to go. So yeah, that was my card related birthday presents.
Yeah, and like no doubt it's two very nice cards just sitting here waiting. It's nice because I've managed to sell the cards on and still have them in my PC at the moment. So it's but yeah, I thought people have been asking about what I'm sending off to PSA. So to close this one, I thought I'd just run through my PSA pile. It's quite a thicker one, but I'll just say the cards out loud. So obviously, once these do come back, I'll know the grades before we do the episode, but I'll go through them, show it off. So I'm sending off from first year Chrome, Katie McCabe Fierce insert. And then two tops now. I actually show these for people because a lot of people have seen them for Arsenal. UEFA Women's Champions League tops now after we beat Lyon. So two of them to 99. And then we've got a gold sapphire rookie for Stina Blackstenius to 50. A Galazzo gold Alexia Portalas to 50. Georgia Stanway variation from sapphire to 50. Beth Mead from sapphire to 50 gold. Kim Little first year rookie gold to 50. Then the oranges are Lotta Woba-Moy rookie from first year. Chloe Lacasse from second year. Wendy Renard, second year rookie, but one of the best players of all time. Stina Blackstenius rookie, orange sapphire to 25. Beth Mead Fierce, case hit to 25 orange. Then Beth Mead orange sapphire to 25. And then a few shorter print ones, which needed to go off to PSA. One of these is a gamble, and I'll say which one it is when I get here. But I've got purple sapphire, Lotta Woba-Moy, gold wave prism, Granit Xhaka. So don't worry, there is a men's card in there, people. Red wave, Gabriel from first year, Merlin to 5. And then the risky one, which is a Katie McCabe green to 5 from Donruss. I think anyone who's seen Donruss, it's notoriously a horrific grading set. I think the average grade at PSA on it is about a 7 and 7 to an 8 at the moment, what I've seen. Tens are going for silly money. So that's going off. Then I thought I'd send some stickers off because I think no matter what, everyone loves their roots of collecting stickers. So from the first WSL sticker book, I'm sending off an Alessia Russo, Kim Little, Leah Williamson, Arsenal. Then I'm also sending off a Katie McCabe from the Champions League sticker book from the team of the season. And then finally, not least, you might have heard her name a few times already, Stina Blackstenius, her true rookie sticker. So that one will be making its way to PSA. And they might have to charter another jet for that one, but it's going off. But like I say, H, it's like great talking about our experience in the hobby, what we've been picking up. But we've got some big guests coming on in the near future as well. So I always say massive thank you for everyone who's given us feedback this week. We've been... I don't think people realise, but when we do hear the feedback, it just it just makes you so more determined to get stuff pushed out. So we've got some good things coming. It should be a fun 4 to 6 weeks, obviously leading up to the next London Card Show and beyond.
Yeah, definitely. I echo what you say in terms of the feedback we've had, obviously, from the last episode. You know, it definitely does go a long way, and it means a lot, obviously, as well. You know, a simple message, whatever it is, you know, it does go a long way with us, and you'll see, you know, it's nice that people are listening and people are enjoying and taking note and learning a lot more from both of us on the podcast. So yeah, we have definitely got a lot of good guests lined up for the coming weeks. Obviously, it's a countdown to London in May, and yeah, it's just, yeah, overall it's been, yeah, a really, really good last week, and yeah, a lot of good guests lined up ready to come on. So yeah, an exciting couple of weeks ahead, obviously, now looking into the next car show.
Yeah, like I say, also, as ever, a massive thanks to the guys over at Third Down Space for powering up this episode and giving you the chance of obviously getting 10% off your order. So any supplies you need at all, please go and check them out, whether it's custom stands, perfect stuff for displaying your cards, which I might be picking up a couple of them shortly, whether it's card care, whatever it may be, do check them out. They're absolutely fantastic guys, and they will always, pretty much always, be at a card show near you soon. But like we say, a massive thank you to every single person who showed us love and support on the last episode. We're off jet setting, or wherever we're going. H doesn't know his destination. I'm off to Dublin, so if anyone's in Dublin, you might see me. Well, you will be seeing me have quite a few Guinnesses, so who knows? If anyone wants to get a deal done while I'm out there, might as well. But I'm going to try.
I'll request not... half price on that birthday present.
Yeah, you can try anything. You can try that. But just put a preface out there. The next episode recorded, I might be sitting here in an Ireland Katie McCabe shirt, which is no doubt going to tempt me in their store. But like we say, hope every single person out there is staying well. Your families are doing brilliant as well. Hope you're buying, selling, trading and all that good jazz. But most importantly, happy hobbying and good night.